Okay, if you please take your Bibles at this time and turn to the last book in your Bible, the book of Revelation, almost the last page, Revelation chapter 21. We are now approaching the end of our series on heaven. We just have this week and next week to go. And so far in the series, we've looked at the following topics. We'll put the slide up with all the topics there. We've looked at heaven as the dwelling place of God. And then we looked at heaven in your heart, that God has put eternity in each person's heart. We all have a sense that there's something more to this life than just this life. We looked at various foretastes of heaven on earth, glimpses of heaven that God has given us here on earth. We've looked at the intermediate heaven, the place where we go when we die as believers. And we saw that to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ immediately. And then we looked to see what the Bible says about our resurrection bodies, and then how we will be reunited with our loved ones in Christ when Christ returns. We looked at judgment and eternal rewards. And then we talked about what we're actually going to do when we get there. What will we actually do in heaven? And all of those messages, if you missed on any of those and you want to follow up, they're all on the church website. I encourage you to go back and check out any of the messages that you might have missed or you'd like to review. But today now, we're finally going to be able to look at heaven itself. In all of the talking about heaven, one of the things we haven't looked at yet is, what does heaven actually look like? What will your eternal home actually be like? And so that's what we're going to see today. We're going to look at a number of passages from the Bible this morning, but we're going to start right here in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 3. Will you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear God, I pray that you take these verses and the others we will be looking at this morning. Lord, speak to us of heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. If you've ever gone house shopping, you've probably noticed that when you go visit the home, have you ever noticed that the house doesn't always match the written description that you read about it in advance? Sometimes those descriptions are sort of written like a code. Now, I found a list online of different real estate descriptions and what those descriptions really mean. Now, if you're a real estate agent here this morning, I know we have some, I know that you would never do what we're about to read this way. You would never write your descriptions this way. I know that. So this is just for fun this morning, right? Okay, here we go. So when the real estate description says much potential, what that really means is steer clear unless you've got a whole lot of money, right? That's what that means. When the real estate description says unique city home, what that really means is used to be a warehouse. When it says, you'll love it, what it really means is, no, you won't. When it says, must see to believe, that is an absolutely accurate statement. If it says spacious, that means average in size. Charming means small. Cozy means really small. Walk to stores means no place to park your car. Bright and sunny means drapes and blinds not included. Natural setting means that the deer will come up and eat your flowers and bushes. And finally, park-like setting means you got a tree in the yard. Now, fortunately, when it comes to heaven, it's just the opposite of that. God gives us so many wonderful descriptions of heaven in the Bible, and yet as wonderful as they are, the real thing will be even better. The Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And so unlike some of those real estate descriptions, which may disappoint you when you see the actual home, the Bible's descriptions, they only hint. They only hint at the beauty and the perfection of heaven. In heaven, it is going to be even better than you think. As we talk about our eternal home this morning, as we talk about your eternal home, I'm going to be assuming throughout this message, as we talk about your eternal home, that you are a Christian, that you are a believer, that you are trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you do not know Jesus Christ, then your eternal home will be very different from what we are describing this morning. But we're going to be looking at various aspects of your eternal home as a Christian this morning. And in the process, we're going to be answering several questions, such as, where? Where will your eternal home be? And then we're going to be answering, what will your eternal home be? And then we'll be answering, what will your eternal home be like? There's an outline in your bulletin, and if you'd like to take that out to follow along or jot down some notes, you'd be welcome to do that. But let's get started with the first question. Where will your eternal home be? Now, as a saying in real estate, you've all heard it, right? What really matters in real estate? It's all about location, location, location. And the Bible tells us that your eternal home will be located, now get this, right here on earth. Now, when people hear that for the first time, they get confused. And they immediately say, well, I see two problems with that. I even see a few confused faces out there. That's okay. They say, well, wait a second. How can my eternal home be right here on earth? First of all, earth is not a perfect place. Heaven's supposed to be perfect. And then secondly, doesn't the Bible teach us that when we die, we go to heaven when we die? And you're absolutely right. Both of those statements are absolutely true. And yet the Bible still tells us that your eternal home will be right here on earth. So how is that? How do we pull all of that together? Well, first of all, the Bible tells us, and this is the first point in your outline, that the earth will be renewed. The earth will be renewed. 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll put the verse on the screen for you as well. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. It's a description of God's judgment upon the earth for all of the sin. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Now, yes, this world will be judged by fire, but it will not be completely destroyed. Just as the world in Noah's day was not completely destroyed when it was judged by water. God's judgment will cleanse this world of all evil and all sin, and we will live in a renewed earth, what Peter calls a home of perfect righteousness. Stephen Whitmer writes, just as Jesus' resurrection body was a renewal of his former body, not a replacement, similarly, the new earth will be a renewed and purified version of this present earth. Now, because it is a new earth, a lot of things are going to be different there. A lot of things are going to be different for us. But because it is a new earth, many things will also be familiar. The new earth will have all of the beauty of this present earth and none of the problems. I like what Michael Whitmer says about this in his book, Heaven is a Place on Earth. And he writes, here is a rule of thumb for figuring out what will and will not make it through to our next life. Whatever properly belongs to creation, in other words, all of God's good creation, whatever properly belongs to creation, that will be restored. While whatever is a product of the fall will be removed, those things that came about because of our sin and disobedience to God. This world, as beautiful as it is only a shadow of the world to come. To quote Stephen Whitmer again, he said, in this life, we're experiencing only a fraction of true life. We're like the little kid who bangs away on three piano keys and thinks he's playing the piano. The new creation is God's invitation to enjoy the rest of the keyboard. I like that. So that's the answer to the first problem we have about earth is your eternal home. It will not be this present earth as it is with all of its sin and problems, but it will be a renewed earth. It will be a home of perfect righteousness. What about that second objection? Doesn't the Bible say we'll go to heaven when we die? Yes, it does, and yes, we do. But the Bible also says, and we saw this earlier in our series, that when Christ returns, that heaven will come down to earth. We read in Revelation 3:12 about the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven. Or again, Revelation 21:2, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. So right now, where is heaven? Well, it's up in heaven. Heaven's in heaven, right? But when Christ returns, heaven will come down to earth. And if you're already there when Christ returns, if you're already in heaven, when Christ returns and heaven comes down, you will come down too. So that's the answer to our first question this morning. Location, location, location. Where will your eternal home be? Right here on earth. The earth will be renewed. Heaven will come to earth. God is going to move into your neighborhood. And when he does, the property values, they are going to skyrocket, because heaven will be on earth. Let's move on to our second question now. We've seen where will your eternal home be. Now what? What will your eternal home be? And the Bible describes your eternal home as a house, and as a city, and as a country, and as a world. You go, well, wait a minute, which one is it? It's all of them. All of them, all put together. See, I told you that heaven is even better. It's beyond what we can even imagine. Let's take a look at each of those. First of all, the Bible tells us that your eternal home is a house. Jesus said this in John 14:2. He said, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And so heaven is, first of all, it's a house. It's not just any old house. It's the Father's house. It is the dwelling place of God. It is where God lives. That's where we started our whole message series at, right? Heaven is where God lives. And the fact Jesus says that there are many rooms in the Father's house, that means that there's plenty of room for everyone. And because it is the Father's house, no matter where you live, no matter where God puts you in heaven, you will be with God. Because heaven is his house. God will live with us and we will live with him. So heaven, first of all, it's a house. Secondly, the Bible also describes heaven as a city. For example, Hebrews 12:22, you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the city of the living God. Or again, Revelation 21:2, we just looked at this verse. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Jonathan Edwards writes, heaven is likened in Scripture to a splendid and glorious city. And many are ever surprised and amazed by the sight of the splendid city. We need not to be told how often heaven is called the holy city of God. Other cities are built by men, but this city was built immediately by God himself. How many of you enjoy traveling and checking out new places, checking out a new city? Isn't it fun? You go to a new city and you go around, you see the sights, you get out your little guide. What are all the things in this city? It's wonderful. We've built some amazing cities here on earth, but none of them even begin to compare to the city that God has built, to the city that God has prepared. When we arrive at that city, it is going to be simply amazing. Now, somebody might say, well, I don't like living in the city. I like living in the country. Well, heaven has that too. Because the Bible also describes heaven not only as a house and as a city, but also as a country. A country where you belong, but a lot of the images are country images as well. For example, we read about various Old Testament people of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And we read this, that all of these people in the Old Testament, they were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. They were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. The Old Testament book of Isaiah describes this better country for us as, get this, a place with houses and fields and even animals living peacefully together. Isaiah 65 says this of the new heaven and the new earth. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. I'm finally going to get to hug my tiger. I can't wait. So I'm telling you, heaven's got it all, folks. If you like living in the city, you've got city living. If you like living in the country, you've got country living. The Bible describes heaven as a house, a city, a country, and then also as a whole world. Isaiah 65, 17, we read it earlier in the service. Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. Revelation 21, verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. We've already seen that this new heaven and this new earth, that it is a renewed heaven and earth. It's God's whole, entire, beautiful creation. Heaven, earth, sky, stars, planets, solar system, all of God's beautiful creation, renewed and cleansed from sin and filled with his presence. God will create new heavens and a new earth, which means heaven will also be a whole world. So that's the answer to our second question. What will your eternal home be? The Bible describes your eternal home as the Father's house, the new Jerusalem, the better country, and the new heavens and the new earth. Your eternal home will be a house, a city, a country, and a world all put together. It's going to be amazing. And that brings us to our third question, which is, what will your eternal home be like? And here's where we come to the real estate description, right? God's written description of your eternal home. And what an amazing description it is. We're going to look at it in detail over the next couple minutes, but if I was going to sum it all up, the Bible describes your eternal home as a place of absolute beauty, safety, and perfection. And God gives us this written description in the last two chapters of the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapters 21 and 22. So that's where we're going to turn now. And these chapters tell us seven key things about your new home. First of all, it is brilliant and it is shining. We're in Revelation 21 now, picking up at verses 9 through 11. One of the seven angels said to me, Come, I'll show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. So never mind a bright and well-lit home with a fresh coat of paint. Your eternal home is going to shine with the very glory of God, and with the brilliance of precious jewels. Secondly, it will have a great wall with 12 gates. Look at verses 12 through 14 now. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were three gates on the east, three in the north, three in the south, and three in the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, all of this takes place in a vision. The whole book of Revelation, John is given a vision. He is seeing things in a vision. And so it's hard to tell when we get these descriptions. Is it literal? Is that exactly what we will see? Is it symbolic? Some people lean one way or another. But either way, whether literal or symbolic, the great wall and the 12 gates guarded by these 12 angels, they tell us the exact same thing. They're telling us that your eternal home will be a place of absolute safety and protection. That your eternal home comes with its own built-in security system, that you will be at perfect peace and rest in your home, that no evil, danger, sickness, or harm will ever touch you in your eternal home. Praise God. Thirdly, the Bible tells us that this holy city, that it's laid out like a giant cube. Look at verses 15 through 17 now. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, to measure its gates and its walls. And the city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia. That's about 1,400 miles. 1,400 miles in length. And it was as wide and as high as it is long. He measured its wall and it was 144 cubits thick. That's a 200-foot thick wall, folks, by man's measurement, which the angel was using. Now, this description of the holy city, shaped like a cube, this is highly significant. You may remember earlier in our series when we talked about four tastes of heaven on earth, that we looked at the tabernacle and the temple. And what was the inmost room in the tabernacle and the temple called? The most holy place. And what were the dimensions of the most holy place in the tabernacle and the temple? They were a perfect cube. And the reason why is because the most holy place was the dwelling place of God. It's where God dwelt with his people here on earth, and it was a picture of God's dwelling place in heaven. It is a picture of the new Jerusalem. And then the fact that the cube is so large also tells us something about the size of heaven. John didn't see a little bitty cube in the vision. You know, that still would have told us, okay, we're talking most holy place. He saw this giant cube. And once again, this is a vision. We don't know if the numbers are literal or symbolic, but either way, what is it telling us? That there will be plenty of room in heaven. I like what David Jeremiah says. He did the math, and he goes, by man's measurement, there'll be more than 2 million square miles, and that's just on the first floor alone. You've got another 1,400 miles to go up. The Bible speaks about there being a great multitude in heaven that no one could number, and yet there will still be plenty of room. I like what Peter Kreeft says about the size of heaven. How big is heaven? Kreeft writes that heaven is big enough so that billions of races and billions of saved people are never crowded, and yet small enough so that no one ever gets lost or feels lonely. I like that. Number four, the Bible describes your eternal home as made of precious jewels. Look at verses 18 through 21 with me now. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. Once again, whether literal or symbolic, doesn't matter. This has the same meaning. Your eternal home will be the most amazingly beautiful place you've ever seen. It'll be on anything that you've ever seen or experienced in this world. Take the fanciest, most beautiful palaces or mansions you've seen. Nothing compared to the beauty of heaven. Number five, your eternal home will be filled with the glory and the presence of God. Look at verses 22 to 27 now. John says, I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's interesting, when we get these descriptions of heaven in the Bible, we're told, first of all, that there'll be no temple, and then we're told that all of heaven is a temple, right? That's the whole idea of being shaped like a cube. And then we're also told that God and the Lamb, Jesus, are its temple. You say, well, which one is it? Well, once again, they're all true. There's no need for a temple in heaven because all of heaven is a temple. Why? Because all of heaven is filled with the glory and presence of God. It is filled with the glory and presence of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Number six, the river and tree of life will both be a part of your eternal home. We're in Revelation 22 now, verses 1 and 2. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. If you go back to the opening chapters of the Bible, the first two chapters of the Bible, what do you find? The Garden of Eden had what? A river and a tree. Now you come to the last two chapters in the Bible, and what do you find in heaven? A river and a tree. Folks, you're going to have waterfront property and an orchard in your new home. But the river here contains the very water of life. And the tree of life brings health and nourishment and healing for all. The river and the tree of life speak of the perfect satisfaction, pleasure, fulfillment, and joy that you will experience every day with God in heaven. And then finally, number seven in our real estate description, you will see the face of God. Verses 3 through 5, no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. You know, everyone's always looking for a home with a view, right? Your eternal room has the best view of all. You will see the face of God. You will see Jesus Christ, your Savior, face to face. What is God's real estate description for your eternal home? Brilliant, shining, great wall, 12 gates, laid out like a great cube, made of precious jewels, filled with the glory and presence of God, containing the river and the tree of life. You will see the face of God. And how do you know that this description actually matches the home? Look at verse 6. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place." What will your eternal home be like? The Bible describes it as a place of absolute beauty, safety, and perfection. And then finally, I just want us to reflect just for a moment on those two words that we've been talking about all morning: eternal home. And this beautiful home that God describes for us in his word, it is eternal. It is never ending. No one will ever take you away from this home, and no one will ever take this home away from you. God says in Isaiah 66, verse 22, "As the new heavens and the new earth that I make will endure before me, so will your name and your descendants endure." You know that saying we have here on earth, all good things must come to an end? You can throw that one out when it comes to heaven. Because the new heaven and earth will also be the last heaven and earth. And as we love to sing in that beautiful song, Amazing Grace, when we've been there, how long? 10,000 years, bright and shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Your eternal home, by definition, is unending. And you will truly be home at last. Psalm 23 is such a beautiful psalm. It ends with verse 6. "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We never feel truly at home here on earth. We come close sometimes, right? Those are such beautiful times, but even then we just come so close. And that's just another foretaste of heaven. It's just another glimpse, another hint of what's coming. But when you reach God's house, you will be home at last, truly home at last. I love the seven books that C.S. Lewis wrote called The Chronicles of Narnia. And in the last book, when one of the characters reaches the new heaven and the new earth, I love what he says. He says, "I've come home at last. This is my real country. I belong here. This is the land I have been looking for all my life, though I never knew it until now." In fact, that's what it's going to be like for us too. Your eternal home will be never ending, and you will truly be home at last. If you are a Christian this morning, you do not belong to this present world. But your true home awaits you in heaven, and then on heaven on earth, with God and with your loved ones who have also trusted in Jesus. I'm going to read just one more paragraph out of C.S. Lewis's book, The Last Battle. This is the very last paragraph and the last book of the whole series. And now all of the characters have entered the new heaven and the new earth. And C.S. Lewis writes this. He says, "The things that began to happen after that were so great and beautiful that I cannot write of them. And for us, this is the end of all the stories, and we can most truly say that they all lived happily ever after. But for them, it was only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world had only been the cover and the title page. Now, at last, they were beginning chapter one of the great story which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. People, your eternal home is going to be amazing. It will be heaven on earth. It will be a house, a city, a country, a world. It will be a place of absolute beauty, safety, and perfection. And best of all, it will never end. It will be your true home forever. It is better than you think. It is more than you can imagine. It is beyond all your wildest hopes and dreams. No eye has seen. No ear has heard. No mind has conceived what our God has prepared for those who love him. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for giving this beautiful description of our eternal home to us, giving this to us in your word. And Lord, we can trust this. We know that not only will the home match the description, it will exceed it. That this is all in the vision, and John is doing his best to capture for us the amazing beauty and glory of all that he sees. And Lord, all that he captures is true, but we will see it in its fullness and its completion when we get there. Lord, most of all, we look forward to seeing you, to seeing Jesus, something we could never do in these earthly bodies of ours now, our bodies of sin and weakness. But in our new glorified bodies and in the newly renewed earth, we shall see you face to face. And that will be heaven. That will be glory. And we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.